Welcome back as the IFC presents another episode of the Archetypes of Destiny. My name is James Malamus. We've got a great episode for you. Today we join Gigi Alcalde and Dr. Lahav Al-Samurai to discuss the 5th annual IFC conference that just took place. It's a great discussion. I can't wait for you to hear it. If you enjoy the IFC's The Archetypes of Destiny and want to support, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. So without any further ado, Dr. Al-Samurai, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode of the Archetypes of Destiny. I am Dr. Lahav Al-Samurai, and with me, as always, Gigi Alcalde is here, and we are the Archetypes of Destiny. So today I thought we talk to you about the conference that we just had, the IFC 5th Annual Conference on the Jungian Advanced Motor Processing Treatment, JAMP. So, Gigi's here. You want to say hi, Gigi?
Yes. Hi, everyone. It's good to be back and talking about debriefing a little bit about the conference that we just had last weekend, and that'll be fun.
Yeah. So I thought we'd give you kind of a synopsis of what we did at the conference, what we talked about, some of the topics that came up. We also want to talk about our new publication. We're very excited about the publication. Has 38 subjects that volunteered to be part of the JAMP treatment study. And we used two measures. We used two survey measures. One of them was the PTCI, the post-traumatic cognitive inventory, and the somatic scale. In both of them, we compiled averages to show improvement in symptoms from those who are suffering trauma, anxiety, bad childhood, you name it. So we had different people on the scale. We had different people with different trauma levels. We used the ACE to... We use the ACE to measure the complexity of the trauma. So there are other measures, but that measure has been used widely and has been tested over 100,000 people. So it has very strong statistical significance, and that's one of the main reasons we used it. Plus, it's a simple inventory. Doesn't require you to sit there and think or work for 20 minutes to answer a bunch of questions. Simple questions, very sophisticated measure with simple questions, which is great. We also think the PTCI is a very simple measure with a lot of sophisticated questions, and is a sophisticated measure in the way that it shows you how people improve without them being able to tell you that they feel better. So they might not be sure about what they feel better about, but because of the measure is clear about what they're doing better with and what they're doing worse without. Sort of like that. So, Gigi, you presented a case on what we call the love disorder, eating disorders. You want to talk a little bit about your thoughts about the conference, about your presentation a little bit to everybody?
I thought the conference was really great, and we had such amazing presentations and speakers. It was very informational and educational, and also we learned so much more about JAMP and how JAMP is helping people, and how it's how we're using it in treatment. So I guess one of the one of the main presentations was the archetypes, your archetypes presentation, in which we learn about where the archetypes come from, you know, and also giving us some information about the four main archetypes that we talked about in JAMP, and how to recognize which archetypal energy you are, you know, or you, you know, hold or embody the most.
A lover, a warrior, a magician, king, queen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, everybody was very interested in this particular presentation, and it was just very, very informational. So that was one of the main presentations. And we had Dr. Sandra del Castillo. She had a wonderful, very interesting presentation.
Fascinating,
about
and
how, you know, the, I think the link of where Jungian psychology and Mesoamerican traditions like merge.
Yeah.
I think she spoke of that beautifully, of the importance of death and grieving, and bringing rituals back into our kind of lives, and the way we, you know, we live in this, you know, connected to the spiritual world and to self. I think, yeah, she did a beautiful job. And so I'm talking about this. I think we have those recorded presentations, so we're going to be sharing some of those, right, for people
for sure,
who aren't able to attend, and at least parts of it, because I think it's always really,
it's really a lot of video. Yeah. So, we'll share pieces of, like, mm-hmm. presentations and to give a peek, a view of the speakers. I think Dr. Alan Guggenbuehl was really good. He talked about telling stories, mm-hmm. and what they mean, and conflict and mythodrama. So that was fascinating. He is world renowned. He's been teaching mythodrama across the world, in China and Japan, the Ukraine. He's been doing it everywhere. He's stationed in Zurich. We had Melinda Powell. She gave a very insightful, very interesting talk on lucid dreaming and how it is used in the clinical setting. So, because we use dreams a lot,
mm-hmm.
in JAMP, we use them to help us understand what has been forgotten,
mm-hmm.
where you're stuck, and instead of having, like, a whole memory for where you're stuck or the exact moment you got stuck, it gives you a hall of mirrors, and it shows you different versions of being stuck. So it gives you a sense of where you are or where you've moved from.
Mm-hmm.
So we use dream interpretation. We use Jungian dream interpretation with that. I think that your particular lecture was fascinating. Understanding the etiology of eating disorders and how they evolve and what treatments are available for them and how JAMP works, mm-hmm. with those particular issues. I think we've talked about JAMP in different ways, but what was really impressive is that there are so many different things that it can treat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tics. It treats tics because this is high levels of anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. And it's an irritation. It's traumatic in origin, usually. It's a high level. So people with high levels of anxiety usually have had multiple traumas,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the anxiety, because if you think about it, if you grew up in a semi-safe space, got enough food, was taken care of, felt safe, went to school, did your thing, you're not going to have those levels of anxiety. Your body's not going to be in distress. Your fight, flight, freeze,
mm-hmm.
play dead mode is put aside because it doesn't need to be activated. But people who have had trauma, who've had trauma as kids, one of the simplest ones I could give you is being dropped. Like you have new parents and they don't know how to hold the child and they drop the child and they think that it was like the child's broken. That's a trauma for the kid, right? Yeah, it's not a big deal. You know, the child doesn't die, doesn't break anything, but they've been dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that feeling of safety, of being held, of being protected is gone. So deep within the psyche, anytime somebody's holding you, what's going to be triggered? The feeling that you're going to be dropped. So now you're hyper alert. Your body is stiff and you're like yelling, squeaking, crying, worried. They're going to drop me again. Right? So simplest of traumas we don't think about. And that can affect your anxiety level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, oh yeah, my mom dropped me. She never forgave herself. Well, that creates anxiety. Right. So the treatment takes away that anxiety because it works out the initial fear, which is of being dropped, of not being held, of not feeling safe. Just as an example of the different aspects of where the treatment goes today. We saw a client who felt the trauma within the womb. Okay, well, she can't remember that far. She can't remember what was in the womb, but she remembers that the day that she was born, she was already traumatized. Okay, that makes sense. She grew up in a very complicated world, and there was a lot of problems in that world. There was a lot of, there was no physical safety. There was no monetary safety, there was no food safety, right? So all these things combined with the child's fear and in circumstances where they're physically not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So the organism, us, when we're physically not safe, our body is in panic, in a highly anxiety-provoked state. And the highly anxiety-provoked states cause panic. Right? So working through that, working through that panic, and then carrying that panic all through your life. So today, what we did, she's not going to realize it until tomorrow. That panic has moved. She's not going to notice it, but she's going to notice is slight things, like my overreaction to something not working.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge overreaction to things not working. I'm guessing it's a childhood fear of not being good enough or not being smart enough or not producing or not being acknowledged as producing or not being seen. You know, these are essential things for every single child, not just me, not just her, not just Gigi, not just the world. It's everybody. These are part of our understanding of how the world works. This is how our brain takes it. This is how the world works. The world is a dangerous place. You have to be careful. You have to do this. You have to do that. And what that does is, Gigi, you could talk a little bit about this, is that triggers the complexes. And the complexes, they're to protect you. But you're 25 now and you were 5 then. And you were dropped. But now, every time somebody holds you, you panic. But you don't know why you're panicking. You don't remember that at 5 you were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now the person who is giving you a hug or comforting you or is intimate with you thinks that you are repelled by them. or scared of them or doesn't feel safe with them, but it's not that that person is the cause, right? It's more of an internal feeling state. Mm-hmm. And so you can't enjoy yourself. In the relationship, you don't feel safe. In the world, you don't feel safe. Right? Everything is a microcosm of our life. So if our life has a partner, and then that cascades out. Our conversations, our social connections. Deidre, do you have any thoughts on?
Well, I mean, I was curious about the client you were talking about and earlier, yeah, that you worked through some traumatic experiences while she was in the womb. Like how, or
yeah,
how,
well, she when we asked her where the origin point is. So in JAMP, what we do is search for the origin, right? Ground zero. Mm-hmm. Where's the origin point? Where is the origin point of mm-hmm. your trauma? Mm-hmm. Where did it all go wrong? Right. So that point is what we were looking for. She took us further than we thought.
Mm. And this is something that she remembered, or she was told that she lived through this?
No, experience? She says, I remembered. I was born traumatized. So she said mm-hmm. she always had a headache. So we worked on releasing the headache since she was a baby. So she's held it in her head. So either she was hit on her head or she wasn't hit on her head. It's just where the fear situated itself.
Yeah.
Right? So she has a pain in her head, right? She remembers some, like the person who treated her the best or took care of her died on her mm-hmm. while braiding her hair, which is devastating.
I see. Got it. No, I'm asking because I think there are, there's this general understanding that I think after the 3 months of pregnancy, the person can feel and perceive their environment, yeah, and course through the body of the mother. But I think if people who have maybe had domestic violence or mother had, the mental health yeah, condition, or there was like adverse experiences from that time, I think of course an individual can experience that.
Yeah.
So interesting that you have someone working through back to that.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I think of course not a lot of people can remember, but I think that she might have some information from her parents of like how were the times when she was, a baby in her mother.
But there was also violence. There's mm-hmm. also violence, and that's left the imprint. So fear of repeated violence or fear of my situation or fear of my birth, fear of the day that I was born into this world.
Right.
And fear. Absolutely. So going through the session mm-hmm. and the treatment, it was like a ride through the past. So we mm-hmm. took her on ride through the past. It wasn't the most pleasant of rides, but she was calm,
which is huge and important, right?
Yeah. And that's what JAMP does. It keeps you calm enough that you are able to verbalize the trauma. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to verbalize the trauma, then you're able to move through it, because verbalizing the trauma during the treatment helps you recollect a lot of the disassociated aspects of the traumatic event.
Right.
So then the question became is like, how do we recover those pieces? Recovering those pieces had to take place in time. You had to recover from where, so wherever the client is, The client says at birth, while they were in the womb, that's where it was. The body remembers, right? We talk about this in Von Kolk's book. The body keeps the score. The body remembers. That's why the headaches, we worked on headaches. That's why, because the body remembers the score. The body remembers where the pain started and when.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting, the headaches. And I wonder, again, I think this is something that might come up in treatment is what kind of birth you have, right? Because birthing and come into life, it's, I've heard it's one of, it is a traumatic experience.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a positive one, right? But for some people, and I think there's a doctor, his name escapes my mind right now, but he's a Spaniard doctor who focuses on birthing trauma and people who might have like had some issues going through the birth canal, including getting stuck or their health being impacted in some way, which can develop things like headaches or, you know, I think he talks about depression or even mental health conditions because of the how the birthing was for the, so he focuses on for the person. So he focuses on processing through that birthing trauma, more like craniosacral things, like stimulating the, you know, the brain and the skull and massaging very subtle points. But I think it's really fascinating that it came up with your client like that.
Yeah.
That's,
I think Joseph Campbell says, if I remember correctly, he says, everybody's a hero because you survive birth.
Mm-hmm.
Birth is the first test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to stay alive. Right. You're born, but can you stay alive? Can you breathe the air? Can you acclimate? Is your body going to function? So that's the first one. So that's the first part of the journey of the hero, is to survive death. So everybody is born in the world a hero. This is part of the myth, because we survive birth. Not everybody survives birth. The numbers of complications at birth and the numbers of stillborn babies are very, very high. Or the mother dies in the birth process. Very, very high. Too high.
A lot of parts of the world. Maybe, you know, we do have come up with certain medicine and interventions that maybe have lowered those numbers in my experience, like in at least in like Western kind of world. But I understand that there's still so many places in the world where that's not the norm, right?
Yeah, but even in the Western world, the poorer parts of the Western world have the same problem. Like the urban neighborhoods in the United States have a big problem because their mortality rate is very high. You know, their equipment, whatever the reason is, go through social, psychological, whatever it is, administrative, whatever the issues are, they continue to affect birth, no matter how you want to do it. And even for those who have the facilities, that doesn't mean the birth is going to come out okay. You're still going to have issues and problems. You know? And then the question becomes, after birth, you know, what's the environment that you just were born in?
Absolutely.
Not everybody's lucky.
Yeah. I mean, I think
like a lotto ticket, you could be born to a very healthy, happy, adjusted family or a young couple who raise you and, you know, you always feel loved and taken care of, or you could be born in something that is already complicated and the people are already traumatized and you're just going to feed upon the energy of their own traumatic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hefty, right? You know, we know with survivors that they could even pass on the genes. The genes mutate because of abuse. and they could pass it on to the other generations. And so you pass on your trauma, and genetically you could pass it on. So we know all this, and that's why the treatment is so incredible, because the treatment, I'm able to help her through that process.
Mm-hmm.
It might not take one session, it might take several sessions, but that process of being stuck, fear of being born,
that should
go away.
Mm-hmm.
If not the first session, the second session, the fear of living should go away. Suddenly, yeah. I don't fear living anymore.
Right. Yeah. And it sounds like for this client, it sounds like it was reinforced later than in her life with losing someone, you know, and then having an unsafe,
it's unsafe existence,
insecure attachment.
Oh, yeah.
Not being cared for or
and you grow up. And you grow up and you feel insecure in your attachments. Not because your attachments are insecure necessarily. It's because of where I came from. What happened to me at the beginning. The insecure attachment stays. Because the secure attachment is made with the parent, the mother or the father.
Right.
And their consistency to you. Do they acknowledge that you're wet? Do they acknowledge that you're hungry? Do they acknowledge that you're hurt? Do they acknowledge that you're scared? Do they make you feel safe? Do they make you feel dry? Do they make you feel warm?
Mm-hmm.
Do they make you feel loved? All right. So once that is gone, then what happens is I come into the world with the basis of knowing that nobody's safe.
Yeah. And the more I think about safety, the more I feel like it's the most fundamental need that we have.
Absolutely.
Like early in life and throughout our lives. If you don't feel safe, then you have a dysregulated nervous system and your body and mind are in an unbalanced place. Yeah. You're not connected to the self energy. You're not being able to individuate, or you know, there's so many barriers at this rate.
Moves through the world, just like feel happy, like have like a small happy, like eat a lollipop while you walk down the street, like a happy experience, like, oh, you know, I had that lollipop, that was great, you know, the wind was blowing and I was so happy.
Right.
Those experiences for people who don't feel safe don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to remember the lollipop because you're worried about your safety as you walk. You can't concentrate on what it tastes like. It was like, oh, it's sweet. Okay. That's gone. That's the brain acknowledging that, yes, it's sweet. Mm-hmm. But then it goes. It's like, okay, are you watching where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you don't feel safe, it doesn't matter how many bolts your lock has. Or how big your door is.
Mm-hmm.
Or how isolated you are, or how high up in a building you are. Whatever it is, it doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Because it's internal.
Sure.
Right? And so part of the treatment is to help you feel safe, to help you feel less fear, to help you work through the fear that you carry into these spaces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because then everything you approach, you're reluctant to approach. It's not going to last. So why should I like really put myself out there? So it's this two-way process of fear, and it pulls you out of the situation where you don't become part of the life that you want to live. You don't take the job that you want because you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take the relationship that you have because you're afraid. Yeah. You don't move out of the apartment that you live in because you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're sick of it. You want to move out. You should move out, but that's a lot of work. You know, I'm afraid in this space. I don't want to be, I don't know how afraid I'm going to be in this other space. You know, how terrified I would be. So, yeah, I think the, you know, these are the most important things, right? Safety, feeling cared for, feeling loved, feeling respected. It's all in the same bowl, right? It's all part of the same structure. If you've seen a bowl, structure is that it's round, so it holds everything that's put in it. These are all things that fit in the bowl.
Right.
When that bowl is cracked or broken, then those things don't fit in. And if one of them doesn't fit in, all of them don't fit in. Because they're all interconnected. They're all interconnected to everything that we do. Am I going to try a new restaurant? No, I don't feel safe, so I'm not going to try new restaurants. Am I going to try a new food? No. I know this food, that food. So there, everything is interconnected. So it starts to spread across this fear, starts to devour all aspects of our existence.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, should I go to this conference? No, you know, I'm not feeling well. Maybe I should stay away. Fear puts us back, takes us back, wraps us in a rope that we're wrapping. This is our rope, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an invisible rope.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's to walk through the world like that. It's got to be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you carry so much pain and fear. And being able to have that taken away, because it's a magic trick. It's taken away. 1 minute is there, the next minute it's gone. And the magic trick is that you feel none of those things that have hampered you for your lifetime. Your mind can't get around it. So this is what we call the habitual, because your mind has laid out all these type of tactics to defend you,
right?
Ways of perceiving you. You can only tolerate this much. I'm only going to give you this much. You're just going to walk this much and your day's done. Yeah. It's limiting, because what happens is that, okay, that day, if I could do that every day, but that's not how it works. If you're triggered, none of that is going to get done. So that means you're in your stable state. But if you are traumatized, you're always semi-triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Being triggered fully means that nothing is going to get done. So what I notice things like, you know, when you're triggered, when you're anxious and triggered, you start repeating the same story over and over again. Did I tell you? Hold on, Gigi. Let me tell you again. So you don't notice yourself. I witnessed this yesterday. You don't notice yourself. You just keep telling the same story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like you're talking to somebody, but they're not there. So who are you talking to? Self. You're reassuring self. You're reassuring you that you're okay, but you have to, like, because you need to hear it.
Right.
It's not for the other person. So if that person keeps telling you the same thing, be patient.
Yeah. Like you're captive. You're held captive by the narrative of the trauma. But I think that also has a functionality, right? And I think we talked about that. And by being reminded of, like, what happened to you, then you're able to stay within those safety measures that you've created for yourself so that you don't get re-triggered or, you know, so exposed to more pain or trauma, right? So I think it's part of the safety mechanism. And again, we can challenge, or you know, we can challenge the narrative, or begin to process it with enough safety in the jam treatment, right?
Yeah.
With enough safety in their nervous systems feeling more relaxed, and enough safety of hearing the affirmations and connecting to that, to the self archetype, which this is why I feel it's present when we're saying the affirmations. Is not to rewrite the story or invalidate an emotion, but it's about being in tune with the self archetype and self energy, and because self energy brings safety.
Correct. Yeah. Von Franz says healing is a gift of the archetype. We don't know how it's going to come, but the archetype is the one that grants us the healing, which is what Gigi's talking about, the self.
Right.
Being more attuned, being more aware, being more in our own physical state, where we're not jumping left and right, we're not scared of left and right, we're not always questioning or projecting on whatever people are doing, because it's detrimental to you. It's like, oh, this is what they want to do to me. Oh, this is what they say about me. Oh, this is what they, this is a constant thing. It's not one person. It's the whole world that you're pointing out that's having a problem, right? This is when the system is malfunctioning. I think Gigi was talking about how it's use words for it. I don't know if you agree with these words, but it's basically, it's being functional in a dysfunctional way.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to get by. I mean, you can get by doing a lot of things with a lot of trauma. The problem is that holding that trauma, that's where the detriment becomes, because it ages you prematurely, right? The anxiety, that's a vibration. You're anxious. If you've seen really anxious people, they're shaking. Their hands are shaking. But if you think about it, internally, they're also shaking. Their liver is shaking. Their kidneys are shaking. Their heart is shaking. Those should not be shaking inside your body.
Right.
That's wear and tear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And over time, that's how you get terminal disease. I think Ka talked about it as fear being held in the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's detrimental, right?
Absolutely.
It could lead to a need for a transplant.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think about it. And then you start thinking about it. It's like, wow.
Sure.
Premature death. Suicide. Because you're tired of functioning in a dysfunctional way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, it's like, there's a time it's no longer sustainable, right?
Exactly, yeah. No sleep.
Yeah.
You wake up tired because you didn't sleep, because you're having bad dreams, or you're waking up, or you're tense. Your body never reboots.
Mm-hmm.
The body constantly needs to reboot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's constantly telling you it's tired, or it's low on energy, or if you're not listening to it because other things are bothering you, you're basically neglecting it. You're abusing it. You don't know you're abusing it, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a huge difference between waiting for something while I am highly triggered and waiting for something when I am balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we talked about these things. We talked about some other things in regards to different forms of treatment and how JAMP works and for different maladies and how you would use it with different issues. So
right.
Anxiety, tics, trauma, OCD. OCD is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Tics, where you're pulling out your hair. I've had a couple of those clients who do that. It's mm-hmm. unconscious. They don't know that they'll find themselves the second day with like a bald spot that they're covering with their hair because they don't remember doing it. And those are early childhood traumas.
Yeah.
Right? Where the child is left in fear and in a reactive state to the point where the child's trying to calm themselves down. And what they start to do is start to pick at themselves. They start to, because they're completely overcome by this state of anxiety. So, you know, sports injuries, recovering from a sports injury, recovering from any injury, recovering from a car accident. Why do you need to recover? So you could drive again without fear. So you could move on with your life. So if you want to hear more about that, we have an episode on JAMP and Harmony about fear and the treatment and how the treatment moves the fear. How the fear flows and how the flow is diverted from an internal loop to the external. I think it was a quite successful conference. I think we shared our new publication, which was massive.
Yeah, so, we'll be talking more about it.
Yeah,
on the next.
Yeah, let's discuss that and kind of give people highlights of the improvements and what we've seen in the improvements. And yeah, I think that's a good idea. So we'll be back next week. And we'll go into the publication next week. So as always, good to see everybody. We are the Archetypes of Destiny. I am Dr. Lahab Al-Samrai. This is Gigi Alcalde. Gigi, you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure as usual, and see you next time.
Take care, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning into the Archetypes of Destiny. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Al-Samrai and Gigi Alcalde. You can also find us on the IFC's YouTube. Make sure to check out the JAMP Institute for Training's The Four Archetypes podcast as well. The IFC is a not-for-profit institution. We do not have any paid advertising for our podcast, but we do accept donations. All donations and contributions are tax-deductible. You can find more info at theinstituteforconflict.com.